prayer card, please take one of these. We won't have time necessarily to greet everybody after the service, so we'll leave some on the back. We'll also be here tonight, and I want to be part of that. You know, it's good Minnesota corn. You got to have some of that. Amen. But we want to have, and then of course it gives, even on the back, for some of you who don't know us very well, tells you a little bit about us and about what we're doing, our names and things like that, and some small pictures of the church there. We're going to look at those right now. I was supposed to have a clicker, and I'm not sure what I, if I didn't do something. There it is. It's just incognito up here. Down is forward. No. All right, those are all the slides. I'm just gonna say. I'm sorry, I probably messed them up because I was clicking too many things. We have been there in the country for about, this is the video. We have been in Japan now for 18 years. My wife and I went there in 2001 after we finished our deputation and traveled around to many different churches and things. And we went there in 2001. And I don't know if you all know this, but of course, this year, in next month, we'll be married 20 years. And so, yeah, she deserves a lot of credit for that 20 years. This is our this is our church, Seaside Baptist Church. We called it that. And so, of course, we have it written in English here, so you all just can read it. And, of course, we have that in Japanese as well. We're not far from the ocean, just about a two-minute drive to a really beautiful place. And so we decided to name it that. And our logo next, and so I can do that myself. All right, this is our family. As I said before, I'm Dan, this is Heidi, and then our three children, Kirsten, Ty, and Cody. And they're all now, Ty will be 13 in October, so I'll have all teenagers. Kirsten's 16 and Ty's 15, and so you pray for us and our family as we minister there. They're just such a blessing to us. Now, we started out, as you can see, maybe you can see I'm a little younger there, and this is actually at Shinko. So we started out at Shinko, and I just wanted to kind of share some photos and some things with that. And as Shinko grew, and we had other people come, and we started to reach other people. This is a teen activity, where they're kind of getting something ready to fix. We also opened up our homes to other people or young people that we knew. I had a picture of Ty's soccer team. We also invited them over recently to host them in our home and had a barbecue for them. And we're able to just, share a little bit of our testimony and the gospel with them. This is an activity that we were having in our home kind of with this is the assistant pastor that's there, Pastor Yoshida. He's there in Shinko right now. And he's going to be taking over that church in just a few short years as a young pastor. He'll be about, projecting about 30, somewhere around 30 years old at that time as he becomes the pastor. He has, one of his sons is there in the picture, holding him. And he has actually twin boys who are, they're two right now, and then he has a girl that's one. And so, but I think you all know that as the church grew, we decided, to build a building. And so we built a building for Shinko. And this is actually us using the baptismal pool before the building was even built. We had the foundation was there. The pool was there. We just filled it with water and had a baptismal service one time. And so that's part of that. This is also the Pastor Yoshida's wife. And so I wanted to kind of show her as well and some of the girls that came to a children's activity. And now we're seeing some growth there. This is Shinko. This is the building that the Lord allowed us to build there. And then we prayed about what the Lord wanted us to do in the future, and we felt like He wanted us to start a church somewhere on Okinawa. And so we went and we found some property. Last year in July, I was here. I think I gave a small presentation about some of the slides I had, and this might have been one of them as well. but just the fact that we looked for a lot of places. I looked at a lot of buildings, a lot of rooms, a lot of places to rent, and there just wasn't the availability. There wasn't something that we could use or divide, or big enough to even really divide for, let's say, a children's area or and a worship area. And so we wanted to, with parking, and so we just kept praying about it, and then the Lord opened up an opportunity. I say that because we had just sold the camp property. It was kind of a hard time for us as far as the Lord's leading. We had run the camp and had the campground for over 12 years, I think, at that point, and we were praying about what He would have us to do. And I was talking to my dad, who is also the missionary sent out of this church, and he said, "We have this money set aside, and we want to use it for ministry. So why don't you look for a piece of property?" And the Lord opened up this piece of property. We bought it for $85,000. That thing that I'm standing on right there is worth that. All right. So I don't know how much I could buy. How much could I buy for that out here? A lot more? Oh, okay, good. So this is the building going up. We had a company come in, pour the concrete. And we had a system. They have a Japanese framing system that is kind of dovetailed together and bolted together in certain ways. It's much more stronger than just nails and things. And so they came and did that. This is the park across the street. There's an apartment there. I'm going to go back and just see this apartment right there. And then just over the young man's head is the apartment. So our building's right in front of that. And then across the street is a park. And so we're blessed by this location, the fact that we have an area that we could actually utilize for activities or different events if we wanted to use that. And we have some parking there. And so I was able to go over and speak to this young man who was just there and give him a tract and just give him the gospel and talk to him about Christ. And so that was, I feel like this is an opportunity for us to use what's around us to introduce people to the church and to Christ. This is the system that they're putting in. And so it all of these joints, the bottom thing is my laser, okay? Right here is these joints. These are basically dovetailed so that they don't come out. And then you can't really see it here, but each one of these interlocking places will have a hole and a bolt system that will bolt to this beam and bolt to that beam. And so all of these are, then they have to go through and put all those in. And all of the second floor posts will basically fit in these slots here. And then all of the plywood is pre-cut for all of those posts. I mean, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. It's all numbered. I'm not sure if I have that, but it's all numbered with, and a lot of the things, you can't really see it. But right here, there's some writing, and a lot of those pieces had my name on it. You know, this is Gardner's project, and then basically this has a number on it, and that shows where it goes in the system. I don't want to be too detailed, but some of you guys are like that kind of stuff. This is the building after it was dried in, mostly, and then we had to put the windows in right after that. Right after that, we experienced a typhoon. I sent a video back. I don't know if you guys got to see that. You guys gave some money to this project. I'm so thankful for that. But this was our broken windows from the typhoon. We got hit from a typhoon, and some of those windows broken. This is actually broken glass. This is broken right here. This frame is actually bent in from, it should go that way. It's bent in like that. And even though we boarded the windows, it's still just, the typhoon was so strong that it just busted everything in. We're so thankful. We hadn't really reinforced this part very, very much yet because we had just put in the windows. And so because we didn't do that, the aluminum actually had some give and allowed the windows to bust in, but it didn't bend the frame. And so we were able to actually just replace two pieces of the window and then basically get by without paying anything. The window company covered it all for us. And so we were just so thankful for that, and that was an answer to prayer for us in that sense. This is two of my kids. This is Kirsten. She's cutting flooring. And then Ty, he's putting it in. All my kids helped on this particular project. Their grandfather taught them how to do everything, you know. And I just was like, yeah, do that, do this, and do that. Why did you stop doing that? No, that was an honest. And then, of course, this is part of the group. And you see our family here. Let's see, our family's all here. And then this is Pastor Yoshida, the assistant pastor. This is a pastor from mainland Japan who is a good friend of mine, and I've helped him in a couple projects, and he's helped me. He's come down just to help me in this project and taught me actually how to put on the Japanese wallpaper. And so he wallpapered this part, but I ran out of wallpaper. I miscalculated, and I only had like a third of what I needed. That was just it was crazy, and we were crunch time. We were getting ready for the dedication service. It was supposed to be just in another week, and I didn't have time to actually order it and have it sent down to Okinawa from mainland. And there was a missions group coming, and that were going to help us with the dedication. So I could get it to their place in 24 hours, but it was going to take a week to get it down to Okinawa. And so I sent it them. Then they put in they carried it as their luggage on the plane. And the night before, I stayed up all night and wallpapered the whole entire auditorium, carpeted and everything else. So that was, but praise the Lord, we got it done. This is a missionary up in northern Japan. This is a missionary, what's his, no, I'm joking. You can't say enough about him, right? You might as well just let the picture speak. This missionary here is also went at the same time as my father with BIMI. His name is Dave Carter. He's been there 43 years. And he's going to fill in for me while I'm gone. They're good friends. Our families have been good friends for 43 years. And so we're thankful for that and faithfulness. And so they're a lot alike. He's actually from Michigan. And he's from the north is kind of what I'm saying there. And so and then this guy here, he's a half American, half Japanese guy that goes to Maranatha Baptist on Okinawa there. But he's a good friend of our families, and he came up to help and would come up from time to time and everything. And so we're excited what was happening there. This is our dedication service. We had people come, this missions group that I was telling you about come to help, and a few other visitors come that were, you know, and things. And but we didn't have the back doors in. These are posts for some sliding doors that would divide the entryway from the auditorium, and they sent us a different size than what we had ordered. And so the night before, we're actually jackhammering concrete to fit in the frame. And I mean, it was a long night. I'll tell you what, but we praise the Lord for what he's done. Here's some visitors that come to the church during the last year. Here's Heidi, and she's just helping a lady. This lady actually goes to Shinko Baptist, helping her understand some things about the Word and just helping her to in her faith as far as to start take that step of faith. It might be this week, this next week, she's supposed to be getting baptized. And so we're very excited about that and her step of faith. This is the building again, the front of it, not totally complete. As you can see right here, I don't have, we put a handicap ramp, a concrete ramp right here so that people could access the building. And clean this up a little bit. Now this is me putting in that handicap ramp. This is me over here. This is a guy that came to help me out. That over there, I don't know what he's doing, but he's not working. This is the group that came down to help us from mainland Japan. Here's the pastor that was helping me, and he brought this group back down. This is actually 2 weeks before I left Japan to come back on a furlough, and they came to help out with evangelistic ministry and evangelistic services on the weekend. We had a children's English fun time, I don't know what you want to call it, but just an opportunity for the people in the community to bring their little kids, we're talking kindergartners, to come and sing ABC and all these other different things and just kind of introduce them to the church and kind of show them this is just a regular place. And so we had that flyers made. We had flyers for a barbecue for the evening for college students. We passed out. I talked to a lot of people that way and passed out thousands of flyers. And how many people, maybe somebody wants to say, how many people do you think came to that? Anybody want to say? Throw out a guess? Anybody? Real quickly? 100. So we passed out over 2,000 flyers. She thinks 100 came. Do I hear 200? 500? 600? No. 17. 17. 45. Pastor put out. Pastor's right. We had zero come. What can we do? We can do what God commands us to do. And that's give out the word. Give out the seed. We plant the seed. He gives the increase. He waters. And these people came down to help us. And I think it was an eye-opener for them because they have people in their church. And some of even the Japanese people don't see a brand new ministry starting. Yes, we started November 2018. We've had one lady been coming regularly. We're thankful for that. And I'll maybe say something in my message. I'll go to say something about my message in, about her. This is him preaching that service. And then this is the lady that's been coming right here. Can you show that video now? This is the lady that's been coming. Her name is Izumi Kobayashi, and she is from originally from mainland Japan, but was down there with her mother, and she had taken her older mother down there to kind of take care of her in a good weather. It gets cold up in mainland, but down in Okinawa, it doesn't get really that cold. And so she had come down for that. Go ahead and play that. This is kind of our doors that enter into the auditorium. This song, as they're singing, is from Joshua. Be strong and be courageous. It says, Lord, you were always there. You encouraged me. You, even when I felt alone, you were there. And so that's a song that we sing in our services. There's no really English translation of that song. And so I like to use those kinds of songs. I hate to say that, but it means when it's written by a Japanese person, many times it has a very more powerful and pointed meaning that they understand very more clearly. I just want, nothing against, we use a lot of the American songs that have been translated as well. Some of those are our favorites as well. So, but we do thank you for your prayers. I think that's the last slide. So we thank you for your prayers. We'll talk a little bit more during our message about things, but thank you so much for your support of us.
Thank you, Dan. That's eye-opening, isn't it? Helps us to be able to hear those reports and to see those pictures and say, boy, that's great. There's a building. We've seen that progression that's happened, but also recognizing, boy, we need the Lord involved. And that just drives us to our knees in prayer. That's what we can do, to pray diligently and faithfully that God would just open hearts and he can do that work. And in the midst of that, to keep the hearts of our missionaries encouraged and strengthened as they continue to be faithful, because that's hard going, right? So let's continue to be in prayer for them. At this time, I'm going to let all of the children be dismissed to junior church. So children, you may head on downstairs to junior church right now.
Shall be healed, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do it this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, No, not in Israel. And I'm going to jump down to verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Faith. He marveled and said to those that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. How's your faith today? You have a great faith? Do you feel like you have a great faith? You feel like, yeah, I got faith. I'm here, I got faith. I present to you that this man didn't have a great faith because he thought he had a great faith. This man was a centurion. This man was a Roman. He was above soldiers. He knew how things worked. Yet Jesus chose him in front of the Jewish people to point out that he had a great faith. You know, anyone can have faith. That's what the Bible says, I believe. Even little children. The Bible says you have to have faith just like this little child. You can have a great faith, and you may have faith. You may be trusting and relying on the Lord. But I guess my point here is that this centurion who had much authority, who had people over him, and really he was part of the government that controlled that area, could have walked in with pride and said, you're a Jew, come to my house and do what I tell you to do. And instead he went in with humility. A great faith really starts with us being humble, realizing who we are, realizing that I thought about this a lot, but and I can't take a whole lot of time on it, but who would the Jews expect for Jesus to point out and say, these men have great faith, or this man has a great faith? Probably a rabbi or a disciple, a Pharisee, someone who knew the law, someone who knew or had great works. It would seem that the centurion would be the last person that Jesus would point to as an example of faith. Yeah, I think here Jesus lays the groundwork for the Gentiles to be saved. This is the first thing, place I know of that he doesn't really say the Gentiles can be saved, but he points to a Gentile. And he talks about his faith, that he believed that he was the Son of God. And you know, that's why we're in Japan. That's why missionaries go where they go, because anyone can come to Christ. Anyone can have a faith, believing that he is the Son of God, believing that he is the Savior. These two men, Jesus and this man, were opposites. This was a soldier, yet Jesus was a man of peace. Jesus was gentle. He was gentle, and he was a man of peace. This man was a Gentile, and yet Jesus was a Jew. But he went to Jesus, and he addressed him as Lord. You see his humility. He also says, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. That's a sign of humility. You know, that's one of the things that the Japanese do very well. They show humility very well. In Japan, they have a system where they're a lot more facade-y, if you will, than a lot of other countries. They know what to do. There is an expected reaction or an expected presentation in front of people and to people. And yet on the inside, they're very different many times. They're always cordial. They're always nice. The nicest people that you will ever meet. You can't outgive them. If Heidi bakes something and gives it to the neighbors, you know, the next day she's bringing over some kind of mangoes, some kind of fruit, some kind of something else. Well, you know, that was really nice and a lot more worth a lot more than what we gave her. When I try to go give her something else, the next day, you know, it will just continue. The cycle will just continue. You can't out nice. You can't out give. You can't out serve many of them. But a lot of times that's just part of the facade. And our faith, we know, is a heart situation. This man that came to Jesus, he had real faith, and he knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he professed that, saying, "Lord." And we have, we can have a great faith if we have some humility. When we honestly and sincerely declare that we cannot live without God, just like it says in John chapter 15:5, we know it says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, ye can do nothing." We have to abide in Christ humbly, knowing that without him, we'll accomplish nothing. In Japan, as I said before, we passed out lots of flyers. Lots of invitations. We invited a lot of people, but nobody came. The lady who has been faithful came originally to the church to get some counsel about some problems. She, as we handed out for the dedication service, and as we handed out to invite people to come to the very opening service of our church, Seaside Baptist Church, she came to that service and she talked to me after the service and said, "I got this flyer, I saw it, I know I needed to change something in my life because of how it's been going. I came here to this church," and I said, "You came to the right place. I can help you know someone who will help you." And I began to, over the weeks, introduce her to Jesus Christ and preach to her. As I'm preaching at this church, it's very interesting. Her history is very interesting. She went to a college in mainland Japan, but I think halfway through that, she had an opportunity to study in the U.S. Where did she study? She studied at the University of Minnesota. She studied there and graduated with a master's degree in, I believe, business management and things of that nature, and she got hooked up with one of the largest eyeglass or frame manufacturers here in Minnesota, served an internship there, and worked for that company for a number of years, then switched to a Japanese company and kept doing the same thing, essentially, for that company. She approached me, so we would start the service and she would come in late. And if it was just my family there, I would speak in English. I mean, they're all American, you know what I'm saying? And so I would speak in English. We would sing our songs in Japanese, and then I would probably start preaching in English just so that it was easier for them to understand. And then I would see her come in the back, and so I would immediately change. I would immediately change to Japanese, and I would finish the message out in Japanese, and one time she caught me. And she says to me in English, I knew she could speak English, and she says to me in English, she says, "You know, if I come in at the end, or come in the middle, and you're speaking in English already, just go ahead and preach in English, because I'm fine." You know, she says, "I can understand." We did that a lot, and she was always late, so... But she was always coming, and she was always had questions, and she would always stay after, and she would always ask, and she would always talk, and she would always get advice. And I was trying to help her understand the principles from God's Word, and the only way to really live those out is if Jesus Christ is in you, helping you, and helping you to live, change you as a Christian, because the Bible says that old things are passed away, all things are become new. I'll probably not get to the rest of my message, but when we left in July, I had explained to her that my dad's going to come back. She had met my dad at the dedication and was going to come back, fill in for me, and she met the other missionary at the dedication as well. And And of course, both of those missionaries have been praying for her all along. And I told her that we were going to go home on a furlough. And she said, well, interestingly, we've been thinking about moving back to mainland Japan as well. And so a week before we came, actually, her last Sunday was a week before Heidi went back to the States. And she came to that service, and we talked at the end of the service, and we hugged, and we took that picture. And she said to me, I'll probably become a Christian, but I'm sorry that I haven't yet. It's hard to hear those words. It's hard to speak the gospel and his word for 6 months and not have them accept Christ. What's the holdup? What's the problem? If I knew, a lot of people would be saved. They know, but they can't accept. It's about faith. It's about believing. Not understanding everything. How about your life? You got to apply it now. I'm not saying you don't believe in Christ. I'm not saying you don't believe in God. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that you don't know who He is, because you probably do from reading the Scriptures, but even today, you're going to have a vote. And I think that even that, you have to have faith. Is God leading you in every step? Are you leaving things with Him, and are you letting Him guide you in every step of the way as you live out your life for Christ? Why did we build a building with no people? Well, there's wisdom, and then there's faith. You got to have faith. And we felt like, Lord, if you're going to open the doors, we're going to walk through that door of faith. The centurion went and said, I'm not worthy. He had humility. He recognized God's authority. You can do whatever you want. And I know that. And if you want and you say the word, you have the authority and the power to heal. And also, then his faith really led him to obedience. Our faith should lead us to obedience. Our belief in God and our trust in Him should lead him in obedience. And I'm going to wrap this right now with an illustration. But a young dad describes a time when his daughter, age 5, came to him and asked for a dollhouse. The dad promptly nodded and promised to build her one, and then he went back to reading his book. Soon he glanced out the study window and saw her arms filled with dishes, toys, and dolls, making trip after trip until she had a great pile of playthings in the yard. He asked his wife, what's she doing? His wife turned around, oh, you promised to build her a dollhouse, and she believes you. She's just getting ready for it. He thought he had been hit by a bomb, you know. He threw aside the book, raced to the lumber yard for supplies, and quickly built that little girl a dollhouse. If you ask him why did he respond so, was it because he wanted to? No. Because he deserved it? She deserved it? No. Her daddy had given his word, and she believed it and acted upon it. When I saw her faith, nothing could keep me from carrying out my word. Our faith and God's promises should lead us to action. We've acted. We believe God will do something. You know, God is greater than that father. God is so much greater. God cannot keep his hand if you follow him in his direction and believe in faith that he will accomplish what he's promised to do. We believe that he has given the gospel for the entire world, for the Japanese too. And we're there to preach, we're there to, and we've went ahead and we've done some things, we've done some steps of action. And we're asking you to continue to pray, we're asking you to continue to believe and have faith that God will accomplish something there. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day now. We thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help each one of us to apply this to our lives. We know who you are. We've given testimony that we have accepted you as our personal Savior, and you are the God of creation, the God of eternity, the God of the Bible. Then help us to act on that. Help us to have faith, a great faith, like this man, and trust you and your promises. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.